Acts chapter 6, and we're going to, I'm excited about the lesson tonight. It's not the lesson itself, is not that the truth is exciting and what it's going to, how it's going to help our church is exciting, but it's, we're going to just sort of read through the Bible and go through some different things tonight. But the biblical deacon. Who's the deacon demons? Who's that, Coach? Demon deacons? Wake Forest. That's used to be still, I guess, a Southern Baptist college, and they what they call the deacons are demons. Okay. Now, one of the reasons I'm teaching our church, I don't think I've ever done this. Maybe I've skimmed through it, because we're going to add 7 or 8 new deacons in our church next month, and about 8 of you guys are going to be new deacons. Okay, and so we want to make sure that we're qualified and we understand, and we want to understand this a little bit better. And then also, we're doing something a little new. Every 2 years, we'll have. By the way, you're going to vote. We're going to have ballots. Okay, there's going to be guys campaigning. Their faces are going to be. I'm just kidding. We're going to vote next month. We're going to vote for 8 new deacons in the church. Okay, and there'll be names in the ballot. And so, but we want to see what the Bible says about deacons. And these are the greatest days and the greatest days ahead of us at Pacific Baptist. Amen? This is exciting, just what we saw. I was telling Brother Kyle, and I probably shouldn't say this. I said, Brother Kyle, you don't understand. I said, our young people, we have the best young people that we've ever had in the 24 years of our church. Now, by the way, don't listen to what some complainers say, okay? There's always a problem person. Perry on the front row, come on. There's always a problem. There's been problems. But let me say this. We have less problems with our young people than we've ever had before. Less problems. We have more godly, okay? Not good looking, godly, okay? We have more godly young people than we've ever had. We have more, I think we have more of our graduates going to Bible college this next semester than ever before. That doesn't mean everything, but that's a good sign. And so great days are ahead. But one thing that I have not done, and it's just maybe for whatever reason, busyness, which really the Bible says if you're too busy, that means you need more deacons. And we've not used deacons, and we don't have enough deacons in our church. And there's two offices in the church, pastor and deacon. And so we're going to teach about deacons tonight. And then next month, some men have been contacted. Some men will be contacted just about being candidates. And then our church will vote. We'll vote on some deacons. Look at verse 1 of Acts chapter 6. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, Acts 6 verse 1, there arose a murmuring. By the way, look up here. Murmuring in the book of, you know, Exodus, and there's a murmuring here and there. There you are, the new growing church, and guess what you had? Murmuring. Okay? God's not condoning it. It just happened. And they were some widow ladies, okay? There was a little complaining. And so the disciples was multiplied. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians, okay, against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily ministration. Okay, so what happened is one group of widows thought they were getting shortchanged. Okay, it's sort of like maybe the Spanish ministry feels like they should have had this or that, or the Filipino ministry, or, you know, the RU ministry, whatever. But these two ministries, per se, these two people groups, one felt like they were being neglected. And so there started being a little complaining. And, of course, word got to the leaders. Verse 2, then the 12, of course, they heard about it, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And so these men said, you know what, we need to deal with this in a very, very biblical way, and not, in a sense, they said, not be good stewards of our time, but to be good stewards of our time. Verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report. Here's a couple qualifications of deacons. Then we're going to go over to Timothy in just a moment. honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. See, how are you full of the Holy Ghost? Empty yourself out, get filled with the Word of God, you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So these seven deacons were appointed over this business. But we, verse 4, will give ourselves continually to prayer, okay, and to the ministry of the word. And so the pastors were this murmuring and this the distributing of the needs to the widows was slowing them down. In verse number 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. By the way, Stephen is the first martyr here in the book of Acts. Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. When they set before the apostles, or whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And look at verse 7. This was the fruit of having these deacons. This was the results of having these deacons. These deacons that were qualified and did their work. This was the result. Verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to faith. If you get nothing, get this tonight. If you have some good godly deacons in your church, you'll get more people saved. There'll be more disciples. The work of God will be better. And that's the purpose for this lesson tonight. Father, help us tonight. We're going to just look at a few verses here. And we just as we anticipate, we're excited about adding new deacons to our church. Help us to look at what your word says about this office, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Look at number one, if you will. Number one, there are two biblical offices in the Lord's church. By the way, remember this. This is God's church. We get to be a part of it. Okay, we have to remember that. Okay, there are two biblical offices in the Lord's church. Letter A in your outline, pastor. Can everybody say pastor? Okay. You see right there, we're not going to turn there tonight, but look at, you can see there, 1 Timothy 3:1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work. Now, we're going to spend some time on the deacon. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3, please. By the way, we have these three books. One is Parenting Skills, Dr. Bob Gray. We encourage you, moms and dads, to read. This is a very, 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 very good read. And Brother Gray has wonderful children. One of his children will be here next, following week, about 10 days from today. And so this is a good read. Two for $10 or three for $15. And then Pete and Frida Colling, actually Pete Colling was my wife's, he's like a scientist. He was my wife's math teacher, good kids. And so this one is Rearing Kids with Character, and then How to Rear Teenagers. Okay? Letter B, the letter B is deacon. You see right there in your handout, 1 Timothy 3:10, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, two offices in the local church. There's teachers, there's ushers, but there are two biblical offices in the local church. One is a pastor. One is a deacon. First Timothy 3:13, there in your outline. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Look at number two. The purpose of the deacon. What's the purpose of a deacon? By the way, there's a lot of misnomers out there. What are the deacons supposed to do? Tell everybody what to do in the church? No. You know what the word deacon means? Servant. I was listening to some messages on deacons. One definition of a deacon is dirt eater. Eating sand. Say, what are the deacons for? Oh, run the church, tell all the kids quit running the hallways. They're the servants. Amen? The purpose of the deacon, letter A, to serve, letter A, to serve God's people with several purposes. Now, we just read there in Acts chapter 6, these first deacons, their purpose was to go in the church and help with the serving of the people. Okay? Letter B, to serve God's people in general. And you say, well, what are deacons do? Deacons do different things in different churches. Okay? And I can give you a host of things that they do. And it's up to the church and the pastor and the deacons themselves. But letter B, to serve God's people in general. Acts 6:3, appoint over this business. In that specifically, they were helping the widows. Letter C, to serve God's people, to help the pastor to fulfill his God-given responsibility. And I, by the way, I don't apologize if God says something in the Bible, and if it has something to do with me, I don't apologize. You say, what are the deacons supposed to do? You know what the deacons are supposed to do? They're supposed to take a little bit off the pastor so he can spend more time in the Bible, in prayer, and preaching, and doing the work of the ministry, and getting the Word of God out. I don't apologize for that. You say, why? Because that's what the Bible says. That's what the deacons are there for. Okay? And Acts 6, look at Acts 6. Go back over to Acts. We'll go back over to 1 Timothy. Look at Acts 6. Go back at Acts 6. Look at verse number 3. Acts 6, verse number 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So these men were to take these, they called it serving tables, so that the pastors could do more of the praying and the ministry of the word. I listened today. I listened to a message by Brother Alvarez. He's a deacon in Lancaster. Wow, I never heard this story before. But he was teaching deacons, and so somebody gave it to me. About a year, or I can't remember where I got this one, but anyway, he was talking about. He said Pastor Chappell was at a dinner series. How many remember our dinner series? Okay, the dinner series, and they were doing a dinner series every day, and then they were going to have their banquet or their offering Sunday or whatever. And he said Brother Chappell came to the dinner series. And he came up, he got up there, and he had to go sit down. And he said, hey, I'll be all right, guys. Just, you know, eat or whatever. He said, I'll get back up there. And he tried to get back up. He couldn't get up. And Brother Alvarez said he took Pastor Chappell in the back room. He said, you're going to be okay. So I'm going to be all right. So like, I don't know if they had a nurse there. They checked his blood pressure, and it was like sky high. And they're like, they called the Antelope Valley Hospital and said, we need doctors right now in the emergency waiting for Pastor Chappell. We're taking him there right now. They're afraid he's having a heart attack or a stroke right then. And they got him in there. They rushed him over there. And make a long story short, the doctor said, he needs help. He can't do this. They sent him away. They said, you need to get him out of here. And they sent him away for over a month. Over a month. And by the way, you know, for me, during that time, you were trying to raise money. The pastor doesn't want to be gone. Wants to be there and, you know, encourage the people. And so he was gone for over a month. Not, I mean, gone. Out of state. No preaching over a month. Someone said it was 2 months. He came back for the offering Sunday. And he got behind the pulpit and he couldn't do it. He had to leave again. And Brother Alvarez, by the way, please don't misunderstand this. We're looking at what God says, what a deacon's for. Okay? And so the deacons got together and they said, you know what? And by the way, I mean, the church takes care of Brother Chapel. They take care of him well. But guess what happened? The ministry slowed down. I'm not saying that the pastor is the pope. But you know, if your church isn't ready to have your, if you didn't prepare for the pastor, and you know, God's providence and God's sovereignty, we trust him. But the point is, what this Brother Alvarez, he's a deacon in their church, he's been there for about 20 years, he said, what we needed to do is figure out how we can help not baby the pastor, but help the pastor so that he doesn't have to have a stroke and have a heart attack so that he can do the work of the ministry. And he said, these guys got together and they said, what can we do so that he doesn't have to have things that we can do? Because we need the preacher to preach, and we need the preacher to minister, we need the preacher to counsel. But so they pulled that back together. And it was like, and they begin to study and read books and to say, listen, we would like this. And the doctor said, he can't do this. You guys, he can't do all this. Okay? And so that's a part of a deacon. Look at letter D. To serve God's people to help carry out the mission of the church. We saw that in Acts chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. We saw that what happened when the deacons, these deacons, basically were the servants of the church, and they had the oversight of course, in this case, and I'm sure it wasn't the only, but this was the first, the oversight of the taking care of the widows. Then what happened in verse 7, in the verse the Bible says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. By the way, I look forward to that. I really believe we put on these 7 or 8 more deacons, and maybe even more. I believe the word of God is going to increase, and the disciples are going to multiply. Amen? letter E. To serve God's people by being model church members. Okay, so here's some purposes of deacons. Okay, look at the next bullet. We all need models. Okay, we all need models. Look, don't let a title go to your head. But when I go to McDonald's, I look for the manager. I just want to say, who's the manager here? If you see the manager and he's like, wait a minute. I wonder if my hamburger is going to be like that. I wonder if my French fry is going to be cold in the middle of it. Okay, people come to a church. They come in. They go. You go anywhere. You're almost like, who are the leaders here? By the way, that's why the qualifications for the deacons is high, and for the deacons' wives. But it's good to have some members of the church that people say, he's the deacon, he's somebody. You come in, you're new, say, hi, this is brother. Not to say we throw our titles around, but this is brother Mike, and, you know, he's one of our deacons. It's like, wow, okay, he's probably somebody I can look up. By the way, you can't look up to everybody in the church, right? I mean, any church. And so they're models. They're models. Number 3. Now we're going to go into qualifications. This is going to take a little time, and we're going to just go over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Where are the qualifications? So who can be deacons? Is it the guy with the most money? No. Now if a deacon has a lot of money, we'll take you on. Who is it? Okay? Should be the godliest, wisest people in the church. And then the Bible talks about their wives. Okay? Look, if I wasn't a pastor and I was a member of a church and I was a man, I'd say, I'd like to be a deacon someday in the church. By the way, if you're not a deacon or you don't become a deacon, you know, you can still qualify to be a deacon. You can have these these scriptural qualifications. So let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Another thing I want our men, as we grow, by the way, as you grow, different churches have different, you know, how many deacons should you have on and so forth. You know, about one per 100 in a church, maybe sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less. But we want this message, hopefully, even the next term, you know, in a couple years, maybe some of our men that won't be deacons, this new deacons this term, they'll be deacons later on. Okay, let's look at this list. This is God's list about being a deacon. 1 Timothy chapter 3, number 3, the qualifications of a deacon. 1 Timothy 3, verse number 8, okay? By the way, you see some of the qualifications of a pastor. We won't go into that tonight. Verse 8, likewise must deacons be grave, okay? Look at a little bullet there under 1 Timothy 3, 8 in your outline. The position of a deacon is the highest level of leadership in the church that a church member can obtain. Next bullet. These qualifications should be sought by all church members, especially leaders. Letter A, grave. You say, what does grave mean? Serious. Okay, now, we cut up. It's okay to cut up. But if your name is Mr. Cut Up, you're disqualified. Okay. Now, I like to cut up. Some people might say, oh, you guys cut up too much. Come on. Let's enjoy being with God's people. We can cut up a little bit. Okay. However, you can't be the biggest goof off in the church and be a deacon. You know, I'm not saying Brother Creel wouldn't qualify to be a deacon. Some of you don't know who Brother Creel is. Brother Creel, he's sitting right over here. He's a police officer. And he'd come to church and he'd shake his hand and he'd have a fake hand, and you grab it and say, oh, you know, and he had a fake cigarette. He used to have a fake cigarette, and he'd walk around with a fake cigarette. Okay, now there's a certain that's going too far. Next point. So grave, under letter A, he must be a man who understands the seriousness of the ministry. Okay, by the way. Just understanding, hey, God, I remember when I finished college, I lacked 2 credits. It was church and school finances. You say, was that a wonderful class? That was as boring as a haircut. Church and school finances, but I could tutor it with Mrs. Stevens. Mrs. Stevens was Dr. Howell's older sister. And I said, man, I don't want to go to summer school. So every couple, maybe 2 days a week or something, I would meet with Mrs. Stevens. She's like in her 80s. And she's a real godly lady. And she had a Texas accent. We'd sit down, and she said, Brother Esposito. She said, this is church and school fine. And she'd say this. Remember every class, if I remember right, God's business. By the way, they use the word business here. Jesus used the word business, okay? It's not a business for profit, okay? The businesses in the community shouldn't be run better than the church. And she used to say this, God's business is the best business in the world, so we ought to treat it that way. Amen? Okay? Let's look on. Grave. Okay, so when it comes to serving in the church, let's be serious about it. Letter B, not double-tongued. Okay, look at verse 8 there again in your outline. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued. Letter B, not double-tongued. If you want to read there, he cannot be a gossip. Sorry, guys. You're going to be a deacon, can't be a gossip. Say, what's a gossip? A gossip is when you find something out that's true and you go tell everybody else that you're not supposed to be telling. Come on, somebody say amen. Don't leave me up. Listen, my guys all left me already. Come on, just because you find something out doesn't mean you need to tell everybody. Yeah, pray. Thank you, brother. Hey, brother, can you pray about it? No, it's gossiping. It's gossiping. Now, we do this about once a month. Let's vote. How many has something, you've done something, or your son's done something, or your daughter's done something, your wife's done something, your husband's done something, or like me, my dog, it's done something. Someone said, hey, you going to bring Tiny to the 4th of July picnic? I said, no, last year he bit Cody's brother. He deserved it. How many have ever done something that you don't want anybody to know about? Or you said something, raise your hand. I have. It was yesterday. Come on, Philip, quit being, you two guys, quit being so innocent. You know what deacons need to be? People that know how to, by the way, deacons, we have deacons meetings, and sometimes, they're not always, and by the way, we will have deacons meetings once a month, 4 o'clock on Saturdays, once we get our new deacons. Every month, once a month. But sometimes our deacons meetings are confidential, okay? And so deacons need to be people that know how to you know, not get leaks out. Well, who leaked it? You know, okay, so they need to not be double-tongued. Look at their letter B. He cannot be a gossip and must be a man of his word. He cannot be deceitful or a man of hypocrisy. He must highly esteem the truth and be able to be trusted with confidential information. By the way, if I was nominated to be a deacon, I'd say, well, man, maybe I'm not perfect here. Maybe I'm not qualified. But you know what it'd do? It would challenge me to be qualified. It would challenge me to be a better Christian. Okay, man, when I became a pastor, when my brother and I, we were division leaders. Division leader for a college student, it was like, man, you just became the president of the college. I mean, it was huge. I was not qualified to be a division leader, but you know what? When they asked me to be a division leader, I'm like, I'm not worried of this. I'm scared to death, but it helped me to be more faithful. I believe I got closer to the Lord. But anyway, let's look at letter C. By the way, deacons are to help the church, not hurt the church by gossiping. Letter C, not given to much wine. Now, don't even go there. Okay? By the way, we sent out the very good Bible study by Tom Pride on alcohol. Very good. No drunkenness is condemned in the scriptures. Okay? We sent that. Look at letter D, not greedy of filthy lucre. Okay, look at verse 8 again. That's what it says. Likewise, must deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Okay? They can't, in your outline it says, not greedy of filthy lucre, verse 8. Greed twists the mind and hinders sound judgment. Additionally, a man that is controlled by the love of money will have less time to serve God, the people, and the pastor. You say, why? Because your mind's on money. By the way, we got to work, got to take care of our families. Some of us are trying to get out of debt, but a deacon cannot be greedy of filthy lucre. Letter E, still awake? Good. Okay. I know this isn't, you know, as exciting as, hey, here's what your wife wants you to do to love her, but we want everybody to understand what the qualifications of deacons. Letter E, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. Verse 9. A deacon should have a clear understanding of the gospel and basic doctrines and know how to share his faith. That's what it says in verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Okay, let's go look at letter F, proven. Can everybody say proven? Okay, so you don't get Perry up here and say, well, look, Perry, we know you were in the bar last night. We know you're the biggest gossip in the church, but we think if you become a deacon, you'll meet all these qualifications. No. Look at verse 10. And let these also first be proved. Okay? The office of the deacon is not a training ground in your outline. However, we should always be growing. Okay? The deacon must first have proven himself to meet these qualifications before he is put in this office. Okay? Letter G. Blameless. Okay, verse 10. Again, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Letter G, blameless. The man's level of integrity must be very high. By the way, let me say this. The more we know each other, the harder it's to be blameless. Remember when you first came in, you thought everybody was perfect? Then you found one person that was not perfect. Oh, that one's not perfect. Remember the next week, you're like, I got two people in this church not perfect. I got three people in the church, okay? Four. Now you're like, I'm the only perfect person in the whole church. Okay? It doesn't say perfect. It says blameless. By the way, let me say this. Do you know why some people can't stay in a church very long? Because they have the scrutiny of so many people, they got to duck out. It's good to be around people all the time. See, what does it do? It helps us to be more godly. Oh, they know all the dirt on me. Well, first of all, we're not supposed to be finding dirt on people. We're supposed to be helping each other. If somebody has a struggle, let's help them. Okay? Don't run from it. But blameless. We all try to be blameless. Pastor try to be blameless. The wife, the kids, the deacons, the people in the church. Okay? Let's be blameless in our neighborhood. Let's be blameless in our community. Okay? Blameless. The man's level of integrity must be very high. Letter H, the wives must also be qualified. Ooh. Okay. So, oh, man, he qualifies, but his wife doesn't qualify. Well, let's qualify her. Okay. Let's help her. The wives need to be qualified too. Look at verse 11. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers. Uh-oh, there goes that gossiping stuff again. Not slanderers, verse 11, sober, faithful in all things. Look up here. You know God's saying? By the way, he goes on at the end and he says the deacons, you know what God is doing? He's not only giving us good servants in the church. You know what he's saying? Let's get some families that have this. Though it would be good for all of us to do this, to have these scriptural qualifications to say, this is what I'm supposed to do. Let me try to live up to this. Let me try to just get God's help so that I can be a model to others, so I can serve in the church, so that we can help more people. But she can't be a slanderer. Look at your outline. It says there, letter H, their wives must also be qualified, grave, not a slanderer, sober, faithful in all things. So I don't know if I can be faithful in all things. We can try. We can try. But there again, if I wasn't a pastor, I'd like, man, I want to be a deacon. And say, Mary, can you not be a slanderer? Well, I'll try. Maybe we can qualify. And then you know what? You say, man, I wouldn't want all the pressure. I like the pressure. See, what's the pressure do? It's another. Listen, I serve God because I love Him. I serve God because I want my family to turn out. I serve, but you know, different things motivate you. And one thing is just here, you know, these qualifications. Look at the next letter. Sorry guys, letter I, husband of one wife. Look at verse 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, one woman, man. Keep your eyes on your wife. Okay? Ruling their children and their house as well. So the husband of one wife, and letter I, a one woman man, he must have moral purity. Oh man, I don't know if I'm there. Let's work on it. You say, Pastor, isn't this for everybody? It is for everybody, but you know, God's saying if we're gonna be this deacon in the church, let's have high moral standards. Letter J, ruling well his own house, verse 12. His children won't, letter J, ruling well his own house, his children won't be perfect, but his home must be a godly home. Ruling means leading. By the way, I remember Eddie Lapina. Years ago, he still is. Actually, he was the youth pastor in at First Baptist. And remember, he said this. He said, "Good." Or no, I don't know if I heard a tape or something. I can't remember what it was. He said, "Good parents have troubled kids because they have poor parenting skills." Okay, it's wisdom, ruling well his own house. Letter K. Okay, as he said already, the wife is to be faithful in all things. Then he concludes here, verse 11. Let's look at verse 11. Verse 11. Even so must their wives be grave, not slander, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons, verse 12, be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house well. Again, letter K, faith in all things. This sums up the entire life of a deacon. Just flat out faithful and godly. Hey, listen, even if we didn't have the title of deacon, it wouldn't be good to just, and we do have them in our church. Isn't it good to have men like that in our church and women like that in our church? Just sort of a standard up there. It's not just come to church and just sort of kick back. No, God says, listen, we need to be holy people. We need to be godly people. We need to be moral people. We're going to close here. Look at your outline there. Number four, a summary of what has been taught would say a godly qualified group of deacons will help serve the people of the church and lift the load of the pastor so we can get more of God's work done. By the way, that's what it's all about. Getting more of God's work done. Man, we got to have Brother Anderson back over here. You know, when he hit 80, he said, I'm not retiring. I'm just going to refire for God. Then we had Brother Wilkins here last week, and people were asking him, what is he, 81, 82? When are you going to retire? He says, I'm not going to retire. He said something like, you know, when they call me home to my vacation. Well, what is that? What's the point? The deacons are to help in the church. They have this, they're qualified. Their wives are qualified. They do have this title. That title will help them to be strong in the church, a model in the church. They'll take up some of the load in the church. So why? So that we can serve more people. We can get more people saved. Listen, we can help send more money and pray more for the missionaries, get more missionaries to the mission field. Also, deacons are a great example in the church to other members. Number five, we will vote on new deacons next month. 8 new ones. Number six, several of you will be contacted as candidates. By the way, those of you that will be contacted, we would encourage you. I don't know if I can do it. We'd encourage you. We're going to have two meetings. Just go to the two meetings that we'll have. And then decide whether or not you want to do it. And by the way, pray about it. Who knows? Maybe you becoming a deacon will be one of the best things since you got saved. You say, why? Wow. We got Josh Barker over here. I mean, when you get a new rank, don't you sort of like, not in a proud way. Okay? No, you know what? I got a responsibility to do. You must be a model in the church. I'm going to walk in here not to be like some big shot, tell people what to do. I need to be a model, and I'm going to serve. But we'll contact several. Number seven, please pray for the strengthening of our deacons' ministry. I'm excited about it. I've been studying, and we're putting together a deacons' pack. It's going to be huge. It's going to be very, very, very helpful. Okay, let's stand together.